Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very important biblical theological doctrinal subject today. What's the difference between the rapture of the church and the return of Jesus Christ? I'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts? What do you know about that subject? Is it something that you think is important, or is it something to just be cast aside with no emphasis on it at all? That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. I have Pastor Davis with me today. We're talking about that subject. And by the way, when you talk about the rapture of the church, Pastor, I believe I need to put a little footnote on our introductory remarks thus far. There's some people say the word rapture is not in the Scripture, and they're exactly right.
Amen.
The word rapture is not in the Scripture at all, ladies and gentlemen. But what you find where the Scripture says we're being caught up, that word caught up is the word harpazo, which means rapture, comes from the Latin term rapturus, and so we're taking the Latin term rapturus. English version would be rapture, coming from the word being caught up, which is the word harpazo in the Scripture, which means to suddenly seize, to snatch, to remove. And for those that, Pastor, that think that, well, that's just a created term, it's not. In fact, rapture is found in the Old Testament in at least two places. Genesis 5, talking about Enoch, said he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him.
Amen.
Genesis 5:24. That's the same word for we get our word rapture. And that's validated then in the New Testament, for the Scripture says in Hebrews 11:5, says that by faith Enoch was translated, raptured, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, raptured him, took him out. Elijah, for example, was raptured, snatched away by God, according to 2 Kings, the second chapter. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject that's real, and it's a subject that does matter. It does matter, because there are many today and multitudes of the denominations that have gotten this false theological position that the rapture is not real and it's irrelevant. So the rapture of the church is where the bride of Christ is described in the 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50 through 54, where believers who've died, listen, you've got loved ones, I've got loved ones, Pastor Davis has loved ones, we've got family, friends, loved ones, acquaintances, fellowship in our church members of years gone by, that their bodies are in the grave. Contrary to Seventh-day Adventist, and contrary to Jehovah's Witness, it's not soul sleep. If you're listening today and you've been taught that soul sleep, where you die, your body goes into the grave, and the soul is just sleeping there in the grave until, quote, the great day of the judgment. That's simply not a theological, biblical, doctrinal truth. The body goes in the grave. One day, ladies and gentlemen, based on the authority of the classic rapture text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, everybody, every person that's in that grave is going to come out, going to come up out of the grave. In fact, Pastor Davis, I remember the spiritual that was sung a number of years ago, ain't nobody going to hold my, ain't no grave going to hold my body
Amen.
Down.
Amen. We still sing that.
Still
Amen.
Sing that. And
Amen.
That is a wonderful theological truth in that
Amen.
Song. Wonderful
Amen.
Theological truth.
And it gives you so much hope, Dr. Youngblood, because based upon the authority of Scripture, if we know that God cannot lie,
that's right.
We have to understand today as believers, there is no reason for us to be spiritually illiterate.
That's right.
That's why many don't believe in the rapture. That's why many believers today don't understand the concept behind the rapture. Now, we have to know, when we're speaking of events, it's the shortest event that's ever known to man.
That's right.
Because the scripture say, in a moment.
In a moment.
Now, I don't know if you want to call that an event, but in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, we can't have an event to where we twinkle our eyes, but we can have a moment.
That's right.
Okay, so if this is going to happen in a moment, this tells me that we got to be ready. We just don't know when it's going to happen.
That's right.
God, only God knows. So we have to just simply be ready. How do we prepare for that? As believers, 2 Timothy 3 and 15 says, study to show thyself approved.
Amen.
If we don't study the word of God, of course, we're not going to find the real word printed out in there, like you said, rapture. But if you will study the word text for itself, you tell us in the class, context, context, context.
Amen.
And believe me, he drives that into us and he drives that in for a reason.
That's right.
And I found that to be a valuable tool.
Absolutely.
When I'm studying the scriptures at home, when I get ready to write reports out and different things like that. Context means everything.
Yes.
If you don't put it in the right context, you're going to certainly end up in error.
That's
so
right.
The only way that we can understand the rapture today, what it means to the church, and for it to have any meaning to you, we have to study the word of God, get those words. There are other resources out there to help you to understand what those words mean.
Absolutely.
I suggest Strong's Concordance. It's got the Hebrew, the Greek, and the Aramaic in it.
Right.
Definition of words and different things, the numbers right by it to tell you where to go and find it in the Greek, where to find it in the English, where to find it in the Aramaic. Get that book. That's a valuable tool for any student that's trying to study the word of God.
By the way,
but the only way you're going to understand that is to study his word.
By the way, we have those books in our classroom. We have those books in our campus theological Christian bookstore. Got about 6,000 titles, about 120,000 volumes, and most people do not know that it's here, but we have those tool books, as we call them, biblical, theological, doctrinal tool books in our Christian campus bookstore.
So what we do, Dr. Youngblood, we actually do ourselves a disservice by not knowing the word of God.
That's right.
How do you know what blessings God has promised you that you can have and you're not studying his word?
That's right.
This is the greatest blessing that any of us could ever receive after we have suffered, the scriptures say, a while. Amen. He that shall come will come. So that's a promise to us that he is coming, but you got to know that he is coming and trust and believe that no matter what you're going through right now, and I realize some of you are going through at this very point.
Yes.
Amen. But trouble don't last always.
That's right.
Even though, amen, clouds, amen, fill the sky and it starts raining, somewhere behind those clouds, that sun is shining.
Sun is shining.
So in this case, let the S-O-N shine in
That's
your
right.
heart.
The sun. In
Amen.
Fact, you mentioned that. I've got to digress for a moment. You get to the book of the Revelation, chapter 21, verse 23, I believe it is, that there's no need for the sun, the S-U-N, in heaven, because the sun, the S-O-N, of God, will illumine all of heaven.
Amen.
He is the light of the world.
Praise
we
God.
Are to be the light as he has left us here to be. So
Amen.
When we ask the question, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor, would you take a moment and look at 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and read verses 13 through 18, because that's the classic, basic, fundamental text in all the Bible about the rapture of the church.
Amen. Getting into what we were just talking about, the illiteracy, see in the 13th verse, the Apostle Paul is speaking out to spiritual ignorance.
That's right.
That's illiteracy.
That's right.
Because listen what he said. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Amen. Who's our greatest hope today? Amen. It's the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Amen. So he said, for if we believe, if you don't believe, this doesn't apply to you. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. I have learned to accept the fact that wherever we see I shall or I will, God That's is making promise. Us a promise.
A promise.
Amen. Absolutely. So here he's promising
firm commitment
that our loved ones shall return
right.
with Jesus Christ. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Amen. He said, before one jot or one tittle of my word fail, the heaven and earth will pass away. So Paul is basing this upon the authority of God's, amen, written and spoken word. Amen. Mm-hmm. For he said, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now listen, that word prevent doesn't mean we're going to stop them.
That's right.
It simply means that we're not going before they go.
Not going to precede.
Amen. 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 So now listen. He said, for the Lord himself, mm-hmm. not another angel, not Michael, not Gabriel, mm-hmm. not any other angelic being, the Lord himself, he's promising, amen, us that he's coming back, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, he said, comfort one another with these words.
Absolutely.
Amen.
So the text that we're looking at, Pastor Davis, is a text that should bring about comfort as we study the scripture. But I want us to take the balance of our time and just simply do a comparison and contrast with the rapture of the church and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, the believers' bodies will be resurrected along with the believers that's still living, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 and 17. In the return of the Lord Jesus Christ returns to the earth, and not in the air, returns to the earth.
Amen.
In Zechariah
Amen.
Chapter 1, chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the major differentiation between the rapture of the church and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the rapture, Jesus Christ comes in the air and calls us up. In the return, Jesus Christ comes back to the earth and he brings us with him.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16, when Jesus Christ returns, he returns with every child of God, with every believer. How did we get there if the rapture didn't take place? When Jesus Christ returns, we'll return with him. For Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 16 tells us, we'll be robed in white robes. Jesus Christ, as the captain of the host, will go before us. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, when we return, we'll return, when Jesus returns, we'll return with him. When he comes in the air and the rapture, we'll be called up to be with him.
Amen.
And between that being snatched away and called up and his return, where we return with him, will be a 7-year period of time. It's called the tribulation time. It's called the time of 7 years of ruin. It's referred to in the Old Testament as the day of Jacob's trouble. It is where God will be dealing primarily with the Jewish people to get them to say yes to Yeshua, Messiah.
Amen.
Secondly, Pastor, the rapture of the church, we meet the Lord in the air, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. And in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we return with him. By the way, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 is a wonderful text because when Jesus Christ returns in Revelation 19, we'll return with him. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, when Jesus Christ returns, he'll return with all of his holy angels,
Amen.
The scripture says.
Amen.
And so you don't see that taking place in the rapture of the church. In the rapture of the church, thirdly, the rapture is before the 7 years of tribulation, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 says that we're going to be kept from the day of his wrath. That is also found in Revelation 3:10. The Christian, the child of God, the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ will be kept out from the tribulation days. According to the second coming, Jesus Christ is coming 7 years after the rapture and after the tribulation.
Amen.
In fact, in Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 19, you do not see the church mentioned in that text. But in Zechariah 14:4, you see Jesus Christ returning. And as I use the term, when his feet hit the earth will split and cause a great valley for Jesus to go into the eastern gate. and seated, be seated on his throne and rule and reign for 1,000 years during the days of the reign of Christ, which will be 1,000 years on the earth.
Amen. And then, Dr. Youngblood, when you look at Jude, and I believe that's around verse 13 to 14, he said he's going to return with 10,000s of his saints.
That's right.
So that means he's coming back on the earth.
That's coming back to the earth.
With the redeemed of the Lord.
That's right.
And I want to be in that number. Right. Amen.
And you see, the thing that most people do not fathom is that if we're returning with him in his second coming, and we will, how did we get to heaven to be with him?
Amen. Amen.
If it weren't for the rapture of the church.
That's right.
The rapture of the church, where the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
That's very, very clear in the text. And the purpose for the tribulation, by the way, our listeners need to understand, the purpose for the tribulation is for God to pour out his wrath, his thumos, his anger on a Christ-rejecting, God-hating, Bible-denying society. God's wrath has been mitigated on the cross through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not angry with the church. He's not angry with the child of God. His anger, his wrath will be poured out on those that have said no to Jesus Christ, Son, as Savior in the world. The fourth thing is the rapture of the church removes believers from the earth to be delivered from the wrath to come, according to the text. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 in particular. The second coming will include judgment of all unbelievers. Find in your scripture there, if you would, Pastor. Matthew 24, verse 40 and 41. Matthew 24, 40 and 41. Of course, what we're dwelling on there, the second coming will include the judgment of all unbelievers, the judgment of the unbelievers.
Amen. It says here, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. And then he turned around and gave a strict warning. He said, watch therefore. This is in verse 42. For ye know not what hour your Lord doth come.
That's
Amen.
Right.
So that's a stern warning to us right there.
To be ready.
That we might be going about our daily lives as usual. And suddenly, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye,
be gone.
That one that you thought was standing there, poof.
Gone.
You're looking at the pile of clothes laying right That's there
right.
on the ground.
That's right.
And as you say so many times, Dr. Youngblood, in your explanation about this, amen, there may be a Christian pilot flying in 747. Mm-hmm. And I hope you don't I hope you don't be on that plane that
that's
day
right.
and be an unsaved person that's flying on that 747.
Right.
Poof, that pilot will be gone.
That's right.
When you look at the conductor, amen, the Amtrak train, the silver meter coming through town, heading from Jacksonville to New York, and that conductor is a saved believer in Christ Jesus. Poof, that conductor will be gone, and the train may derail and go off the tracks.
Right.
But still, we have to understand, Scripture speaks clearly to that fact that there is going to be a rapture. Now listen, let's stop looking for the word. We got so many that's smarter than the average bear, and they're saying, I don't see that word, so I don't believe it. That's okay if you don't believe it. That don't mean it's not going to happen.
Doesn't change it one whit.
Amen. So it behooves you as a believer on today to study this word, understand it, and again, get ready, stay ready, and be ready.
That's
because
right.
it's surely going to come to pass.
Can you imagine, Pastor, and as you were saying that, I just got to thinking, can you imagine when the rapture takes place, the Communist Network News will have their headlines, millions missing. In fact, they'll probably claim that the UFOs have snatched us away. They will probably have some kind of excuse to say, well, those that have been the antagonizers in this world, finally they're gone. But the rapture is real. And ladies and gentlemen, when we look at the rapture and we look at the return, the rapture removes the believers from the earth, delivered from the wrath to come. The second coming includes the judgment of unbelievers. The fifth thing is the rapture is sudden, and it's very secret. Pastor, read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 through 54. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 54. It's very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, that the rapture of the church, and Pastor Davis touched on it in dialogue earlier, it'll be sudden. It'll be secret.
Amen. Says here, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Amen. So there'll be no people there. Amen. No fleshly person no fleshly there. Person. Flesh and blood cannot go. Amen. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die or mm-hmm. pass away, mm-hmm. but we shall all be changed. Mm-hmm. In a moment, there's that word again. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Listen to all those promises That's in right. there. Amen. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he said, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain
Amen.
In the Lord.
Amen. It is the rapture is sudden, where it says, in the twinkling of an eye. And I've used this illustration for less than 100 years now. It doesn't mean the batting of the eye, the twinkling of the eye. If you're standing out in the bright sunlight, you're talking with a friend, and you look over in his face, and you see the sun glistening off the moisture on the eyeball. That glisten is just a twinkling, a momentary thing.
My, my.
And that little glisten, that's how quickly the rapture will take place.
Amen.
Not time to say, let's go to Sunday school, let's study the scripture, let's go to church, let's pray, let's get right, let's get in front of the TV and watch the 8-track video that mom and dad left behind. That's not the point at all.
Amen.
It is in the twinkling of an eye. It is sudden. The second coming, by the way, in contrast to that, the second coming is visible. The scripture says, every eye shall see
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
Revelation 1:7 says that. Matthew 24, verse 29 and 30 says that. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, 9, 10, and 11 says that. So, ladies and gentlemen, if there's nothing else to do the comparison on, we can look at the rapture of the church and understand it's sudden, it's secret, there are no signs, there's no warning, it could happen at any moment, but the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will be visible. It will be visible as the sun shineth, as the lightning shineth from the east to the west, so also shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man, in Matthew 24, verse 29 says, and following. May I say to you, it is vital for us to understand that the rapture of the church is real, contrary to what many denominations are teaching today. Sixth thing we see, no signs to be fulfilled before the rapture of the church. It is the blessed hope that we find in Titus 2:13, in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. It is the fact that it could happen at any moment. The Apostle Paul, Pastor David said a moment ago as he read that, I will not have you to be ignorant.
Amen.
That word ignorant means unlearned. That word ignorant means stupid. That word ignorant means unsettled. And we find those today that are ignorant of the rapture of the church, they're unsettled, they're concerned, just as the believers in Paul's day, they were concerned about those loved ones that were saved, that had died, and had gone on. They were, in essence, concerned about, where are they? What will happen? Will we ever see them again? And that's what the Apostle Paul, as he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, is saying. He said further in the text, if we believe in the resurrection, if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again. And by the way, Pastor Davis touched on that a moment ago, so I'll kind of fill in the blanks. The word if is in the Greek text in what's called the first class conditional clause, and it's better translated since. Paul says to the believers that's questioning what happens to the loved ones that are saved, that's gone on. He said, since we believe,
Amen.
Put it in the
Amen.
Youngblood vernacular, because we believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to also believe that we're going to rise again, that we're going to come up from the grave, that no grave will be able to hold our body down. When Jesus Christ screams out the call, he's going to call us. In fact, when we look at the scripture that we'll look at as we wrap up today, we'll talk about the sequence of events in the rapture. They're four events, but they're taking place simultaneously with one event.
Amen.
Seventh thing, Pastor Davis, the rapture of the church keeps the believer out of the wrath to come. Revelation 3:10 says that. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, we'll be kept out from the tribulation.
Amen.
If the rapture of the church is not real, that means then by default that every Christian will go through the tribulation. The tribulation is where telepsis, danger, darkness, devastation that will take place. And that has taken place in Jesus Christ hanging on Calvary's cross when he shed his rich red royal blood for our sins, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life.
And then, Dr. Youngblood, as you're saying that, you know, the simple term that comes to my mind, just a saying, if the church is the wife or the bride of Jesus Christ, and some say that the church is going through the tribulation, then you're saying that Christ is going to beat his wife.
That's right. It's a good illustration. Eh? A little boy says, it ain't going to happen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the second coming will come with Jesus in his victory as he returns, which is after the 7 years of tribulation. In fact, it is referred to in Jeremiah 30, verse 7, as the day of Jacob's troubles. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, we must be ready, for at any moment, at the twinkling of an eye, we could be caught up out of this old world into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sequence of events that we talked about a moment ago, Pastor, first of all, is a shout. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout.
Amen.
That word shout means command. And Jesus Christ is going to command the bodies out of the grave, and then the summons with the voice of the archangel.
Amen.
And I believe that'd be Gabriel. Jesus Christ is going to call us out. The archangel is going to call us up.
Amen.
To be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sound that was here there.
I'm getting happy already.
That's right. And with the trump of God, the scripture says.
Amen.
In fact, in the scripture, the trumpet was sounded as you go into battle, and the trumpet was sounded as you come out of battle, indicating victory. So the trump of God is the trumpet sound of victory for every child of God.
Amen.
That we've come up out of the grave, that we've said yes to Jesus Christ, and we're going to rise out of the grave to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the swiftness, four things take place. The shout, the summons, the sound, and the swiftness. 1 Thessalonians 15:52, you read just a moment ago, in the twinkling of an eye.
Amen, amen.
When this happens, these four things, the shout, the summons, the sound, and the swiftness, all done in what is called in the Greek text punctiliar motion, that is, at one sudden event, all will take place back to back to back, no waiting, no time between. And ladies and gentlemen, the primary thing that I want us to close with is John chapter 14, verse 1, 2, and 3. In my Father's house have many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus Christ himself is going to come and receive us unto himself.
Amen.
We need not worry about what this old world is like. We need to stop focusing on signs and start focusing on sound. And the question is, are your ears tuned to the sound of the trumpet for the rapture of the church? I pray that you're ready, and I pray that you'll get ready. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on the air today. I pray that this has been a blessing to you. Looking forward to meeting you again on the air as once again we face the issues.
Amen.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.3.